World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. It is the 30th day of May. Where did May go? 30th day of May is show number what, Johnny? 2,419. Unbelievable. I played golf last night. You say, well, that's what's the big deal about that? Folks, I haven't really been able to hit a golf ball since the attack of what they call gout. 6 months. I don't even know how long ago it's been. It's been unbelievable. Because I couldn't swing. I couldn't turn my head. Oh, it was awful. I've been under a choir practor's care, a naturalist. They give me all kinds of vitamins and minerals and all that kind of stuff. And dudes, I came home and told my wife, I actually hit the ball. I hit it straight down the fairway. I hit it long. It was like I was my old self again. So a little bit of good news on that. And then, you know, I kind of mentioned to all of you yesterday that we got a new grandbaby coming, and it seems the devil wants to tell us there's some complications. And a lot of us got praying about that yesterday, and knowing that that little baby is fearfully and wonderfully made, and yeah, all that stuff that goes along with it. And isn't it amazing? Our daughter got a notification yesterday from the analyst or whatever that means, that maybe they had misread something. So they wanted her to come. Something's happening here. But it is ain't exactly clear. See, we don't really believe in the supernatural. We really don't. We pray to God, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we speak in tongues. But really, we don't really believe in the supernatural. And I think that's going to be the most amazing thing when we get on the other side, whatever that means, wherever that is. When we get on the other side, and we're able to look back and see, oh my God, how much we were fooled, and how much if we'd have just followed the truth, if we'd have just done what if we'd have just followed the truth, so much of what we are dealing with wouldn't be happening. Think what would happen in America if we were actually once again a Christian nation that actually followed and taught the precepts of the Bible and demanded people follow them. Would these problems that we have be around? Well, of course they wouldn't. But as I said, I was on the Patriot Party news roundtable last night. As I said, listen, folks, are you looking at me? This isn't Republican Democrat. It isn't political. It manifests politically, but it isn't political. Psalm 2 says, the kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. There is the battle, spiritually. Yes, it manifests as Republicans and conservative Republicans and MAGA Republicans and Democrats. And yes, but see, that is all just muddy water that the enemy is creating to try to keep us from the truth. How many Republicans do you know who aren't Christian? How many Christians do you know that aren't Republican? So if we could begin to once again really focus on the thing, what if all the Christians got on the same page? Every Christian in America got on the same page. What would that be like? We would so overwhelm them. But again, it's divide and conquer. We hunker down, argue over eschatology, argue all theology. Lord, he must be sitting up there just tapping his foot and shaking his head, saying, holy smokes, how did they get caught up? And did you guys ever do that with one of your little children when they're 3 or 4 years old, and you leave the room, you come back, and they got the paint set out, and they've painted all everything. You say, how the heck? How'd this happen? Right? You know better than that, you would say to your children, right? Don't you think at some point you'd sit on God's lap? He'd say, dude, you knew better than that. Why did you do that? And we do, don't we? And see, we see the gospel is just a set of rules and regulations. And this is the way to be nice and be kind and love your neighbor. This is how you're supposed to live, when it isn't. When we were birthed onto a battlefield, into a spiritual war over truth. Over truth. And it's only the truth that sets us free. And that's why the enemy is so focused on lies, deception, and fear. Oh my, lies, deception, and fear. So I think we're sitting, my opinion, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. And we were discussing a little bit here in the pre-show. Yeah, we have a pre-show and a post-show. And if you want to see it, folks, you're going to have to log on at CoachDaveLive.com. And then you can join the huddle, and you can raise your hand, and you can ask questions. If you're watching on any other platform, you can't interact like that. But if you want to be part of it, then you have to log on at CoachDaveLive.com. It says join the queue, and boom, you can be part of it. So we were dialoguing a bit before we went live about why nothing's happening. Anybody want to see some perp walks? Anybody want to see somebody charged? Anybody want to see somebody hang? I do. But, folks, it's a big, big onion, man. You peel back one thing, and oh, my God, look at that. You peel back another, oh, my goodness. And I think as the onion is beginning to be peeled, you do know this, don't you? They've had since at least 1963 when they murdered John F. Kennedy. They've had since then to build their army and their warfare chest. And they have deeply embedded, the devil I'm talking about now, has deeply embedded himself into the political system. And as we begin to peel back the layers of the onion, I think, you know, how did Dan Bongino all of a sudden become a bad guy? And Kash Patel, they all of a sudden became bad guys because they said something about Epstein? Or is it they're peeling back the onion? They say, oh my God, we can't talk about this. And then they peel back and, oh my, because it's all interconnected. And I think that what we have to do is we have to remain firm and say, Lord, your will be done, baby. The Bible tells us there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Let justice roll down like a mighty, mighty river. And I think when it starts to happen, we are going to be so shocked and amazed at some of the people who are doing things that we never dreamed. That's what I think we're dealing with. That's what I think. Okay, so let me throw this up here real quick. I got some stuff I want to get out. Number one, did you guys know Jeff Nell, our buddy Jeff Nell, had a stroke? Did anybody know that? He just kind of texted me last week, said, sorry, I haven't been around. I had a stroke. So what? Had a stroke. So maybe I'll be driving here soon. So be praying for Jeff out there, will you? Happy birthday to Bob Evans, by the way, Bob. And Mark Mattingly, anybody keeping in contact with Mark Mattingly? He's fighting whatever the heck he's fighting. Folks, the devil is so real. Sickness is so real. Now, not everything is an attack of the devil. Not everything is. But, boy, the devil should manifest, doesn't he? So, one of the things that has driven me away, this is kind of a, I'm going to say this the right way. One of the things that's made me apprehensive with the local church is my position is the local church has not become what the local church is supposed to be. And I don't know about you, I remember back when I used to attend a local church. I didn't even know the people there. I didn't even know them. We called it a church family, but I didn't know them. And so my wife and I'd be riding home after church, and I'd say, "Hey, honey, what's their name again? I'd be going to church with them for months, right? What's their name again, honey? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? You know what I really love about what we're doing here, whatever this thing is. I think people here really care about one another. I don't think maybe we have that deep, deep fellowship that we would have if we lived closer to each other and saw each other regularly, which is why I think if you could make it to the annual event, it would be really, really good for you to get to know some of these people up front. Well, I'm going to tell you, my best friends are in this queue. And I grew up here, right where I live. I grew up here. And I told my wife, I don't even know people around here anymore. It's my fault. I don't get out and try to engage with them. But my relationships are here with you guys. And I think it's a good thing. Although, this doesn't substitute for real fellowship. And I know that there's some of you out there who've developed other relationships with people in the queue and outside the queue, and that's all good. That's all good. But I'm telling you this, from me, the current American church system is broken. It's broken. And I don't know how we save it. I really don't know. I think how upset the Lord must be. That we're supposed to go into all the world and teach them to observe all he has commanded us, and none of us do that. None of us do it. In fact, we haven't even been trained in how to do it. Most people, and I'm not, hey, don't feel bad here, or feel bad if you want to. Most people have never led anybody to the Lord. They don't even know how to do it. They got to take him to church and hope, let their pastor lead them to the Lord. And gospel opportunities are all around us everywhere we look. So the model's broken in that the idea of each one teach one doesn't exist anymore. It's now pastor teach everybody. And it's not good. I'm rambling this morning, right? David Arthur's coming to town, and he's probably traveling right now. And he's got an event going on. Jeff, that event's this weekend. Is that right, Jeff? What's going on there? David, I don't know if David, I know he's driving.
Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, Church in the Garage. You know what, Coach? Like, you're talking, and he's going to bring the information on the transgender stuff, the dope they're putting in these kids, and the mental confusion. It's a lot of good stuff. But you know, you said something about waking up the church. They're going to get woke up tomorrow or Sunday morning. Pastor Matt is bringing him in. And Pastor Matt said, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you got confirmation. Something about the scripture about don't call something unclean that I've cleaned. And he said, Lord, give that to him two nights in a row in the middle of the night. Then he talked to another pastor, friend of his down in Alabama, that is his pastor. And he said, Pastor Matt, his name's Pastor Tim. He said, the church doesn't believe in the supernatural anymore. He said, that's great you're having him in. And he just, some of the things you said, this is what this old guy told Pastor Matt. He said,
hey, Dave, folks out there, look, does anybody out there think that the American church has any understanding at all of the LGBTQRSTUVW? Do they have any idea of that powerful lobby, what they are doing to undermine our children? Does the church have any idea of the depth of it? And the answer is, of course not. That's why they don't talk about it. They don't talk about it because they're after our kids. I got a video of Dave. I'm not going to play it right here. Folks, this is an agenda. It's an agenda from hell to try to capture and kill our children. So he'll be in Mount Vernon on Sunday and church in the garage on Tuesday. Thanks for that, Jeff. I'm looking at some notes I've made up here. Oh, my goodness. Coach, you got rolling.
Hey, Coach.
Friday morning communion. Get your communion. Get ready. Joe, sorry, man. I got on a roll here. Go ahead.
Just to add to that, I didn't advertise where the church is here in Knox County because we were just worried about the enemy showing up
and causing havoc.
So if anybody wants, I'll put my phone number in the chat. You can call me. If you're around here somewhere in Ohio and you want to come Sunday, I'll let you know where it's at. But JR's coming, bringing his wife. He's really going to try and get there. So we got some people showing up, so it'll be cool.
Do you think anybody has any understanding at all the gay agenda? The answer is no. No, they don't. They don't. And they're stealing our children. They're taking over the schools. They promote all this wickedness in the schools. And the churches don't even talk about it. Well, could it be the churches don't talk about it because they don't know? I don't know. Yeah. Joe, I got rapping and rolling here. Joe Allen wants to say something. And are we getting ready to do the communion? Is he out there? Is Joe out there? Thanks, Joe. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe Allen, real quick. And then Joe Carrico, I'm going to turn it over to you, buddy.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if Trump uses his powers to suspend habeas corpus and start locking these people up like they did the J6ers?
It would be good, except it's very, very dangerous if we suspend habeas corpus. Remember, anything that we do like that, the next guy gets to do it too. I'm with you, Joe. Those guys, we know this, don't we? That the J6ers, we heard from Stuart Rhodes, he didn't get a trial. Spent 4 years in jail, didn't even really have a real trial. So we're so deeply messed up in some of these areas that we got to get back online. Joe, come on in, man. I'm sorry. I didn't forget you. It just seems like I did.
I'm in. Producer, if we could.
Hey, folks, don't go away. I got some good stuff to show you here. Don't go away. See how we're taking communion? Yeah, we're taking communion. As often as we do this in memory of him.
The reading this morning is from 1 John 1, 1 to 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, wow, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life.
I saw the light, brother. I saw the light. Go ahead.
Which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us.
Amen.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light.
Amen.
And in him is no darkness at all.
Amen, baby.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie.
Wow.
And do not the truth.
Mm.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us all from all sin.
Those seven verses, that's pretty profound right there, folks, isn't it? Oh. If you would just meditate on that, how deep is that? Go ahead, brother.
It's extremely profound. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Mm. Truth is a person, folks. Truth is a person who gets in you through the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Joe.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Wow. Boy, I had a cleansing. Woo! You must have had a scrub brush with me.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again today with gratitude in our hearts for this unique congregation, brothers and sisters supporting each other, teaching and learning and sharing together from all parts of this great nation you have put us in and a few parts of the world. And with this marvel of modern technology that we probably now take for granted, we are grateful, Lord. But we are mostly grateful for what you have done for us.
that you are only light. You are love. You are righteousness. You are cleanser, cleaning us from our sin so that we can be righteous with you. So that when God looks at us, he sees Jesus who is in us. We don't really understand, Lord, even though that we say that we do. I know that we just have the very beginning of the understanding. But it is enough for our salvation, Lord. And it is enough for us to accept that we are your ambassador. It is enough, Lord, for us to start the walk that we should walk. So this day, let us surrender a little bit more. Let us be a little bolder. Let us raise our hand when others don't. Let us be firm when others waver. Let us be and do what Jesus would have done were he in our circumstances we find ourselves now. So let us always remember, what would Jesus do when we feel an argument coming? What would he do in a disagreement? What would he do when we see something that we should not be approving of? And all these things happen again and again and again in our daily lives. And we know that we can make a difference, and sometimes we do. But let us do this more and more consistently and more often, and really have people notice that we are not of this world, that we are not the same as we used to be. We are a new creature, that we are separate, and that we are sharing. And let us be so contagious, Lord, with our love, with the Holy Spirit, with our walk, that we become a pandemic of love, a pandemic serving you, Lord. Why not? Why can't we be the pandemic, Lord? Why can't we? There is no vaccine for Jesus. There is no vaccine for love. And we don't want there to be one. And we are grateful. So we thank you for communion. We thank you for what this means. And we ask that you forgive all our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. For we know that this is very sacred, what we do here now. We remember that this is the meal that heals. If anybody has a wound in their soul, in their body, in their spirit, please put that forward and receive the healing as you take your communion. Healings can be instant, and they can be breath by breath, day by day. We know that the enemy of healings is doubt and fear. So we remove the doubt and we accept what you have already paid for, Lord, with your stripes. Because by your stripes are we healed, Lord. And so we bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us so many years ago, that we who believe in him may not perish but have everlasting life. And we are grateful. In Jesus' name, we pray now. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Are we really going to sit and drink this with anything? So the word says, isn't it? Isn't that unbelievable? We're going to sit with him and have us a
cup. It's only 2 days for him, Coach. A day says that's 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day.
That's it, man. It's unbelievable. Amen.
Time is in the fast lane there, or the slow lane, depending whichever it has to be.
Amen. 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 Thanks, Joe. Hey, pull up number two. I got to get some of these things in here. I don't want to miss them. Excuse me. Pull up number two. This weekend. I'm sorry. I haven't gotten this out there. It's May 31st. That's tomorrow. Those of you who are local here in Ohio, celebration of faith, freedom, and make America healthy again. Our buddy John is going to make a presentation about the food. We'll talk about the food. Jeff Louderback. I don't know if you know Jeff Louderback or not, but he's co-founder All In Ohio, Epic Times reporter. He's going to be there. And I'll be honest with you, I really don't know much about Samantha Rayburn, co-founder All In Ohio. Anyway, this is taking place right here in Granville, Ohio. John Hartzler, Hartzler Dairy, hosted at North 64 Farms. That's in Granville, Ohio. Free. Doors open at noon. Good place to come and fellowship, get to know other people, rub shoulders. And so put that in the chat. And Michelle and I are going to be there. And are you guys ready for this? Dave and Sherry Allison are driving down here this weekend. And they're going to go there with us. And then we're going to have some fellowship. And so that's all good. So I'm sorry, man. I've neglected to get this up there. It's free. It's free. Now, Mel had that up already at the Liberty Action Network. I just didn't do a real good job of getting that thing over there. Good? Let me see. What else? No. Anybody have an announcement that I'm forgetting? Anybody that stands in need of prayer, anything like that? Come in. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Craig Mickle, come on in.
Well, I just have a comment about your first opening part.
Hang on. Oh, yeah, my wife. Sorry, Craig. My rib just yelled down at me. Don't forget the annual. Don't forget the annual. Listen, I'm going to do something right now. It's funny. Hang on, Craig. During Joe's prayer, Holy Spirit said to me, don't charge for the annual. Don't charge. So listen to me. Don't do it right now because I'm going to have to change things on the website. We want you to come. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We'll take an offering. Take our offering. But some people aren't able to come because they can't afford a $75 ticket or whatever. And we're just going to believe that the Lord's going to make it. So on Monday, we're going to change this, Jared, and it's going to be free. It's going to be free. But bring an offering. We got to get tents. You understand what's going on. So the Lord prompted me to, my sheep hear my voice. You hear and obey. And I heard him say that. Now, those of you who said, well, we already paid. Well, we'll refund your money or you can use that as a donation. Either way, we want everybody who can to come. Go ahead, Craig.
That's something I wanted to share with everybody because, you know, it kind of relates to what I was saying yesterday about some of the things that God's ordained us to do. And we kind of have this different crew here, right? And I got to think about, remember that song back in the, I guess, 80s? It was, we got a great big convoy rolling through the South. Remember?
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I was talking about how Rusty and Steve Deck, and I see Steve in here, and you know, we went to the courthouse, you know, with Lieutenant Bashaw, right? And right. We talked about how he got out and stuff. And then, you know, we went with Tony Spell to the courthouse, right? And we went went to the courthouse with Bill Dumfrey. Okay. Myself, Rusty, and Myra went down there. Right. Then when we're in the courthouse, right. And Steve Deck was there too. Okay. Steve was in all those. I'm just looking over here and this song comes through, you know, we got a great big convoy, right? And then it says with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartered micro minibus. It's like we got all these people, right? So I'm looking over here and I'm sitting there and in D.C. and, you know, I'm looking at the judge, Reggie, and, you know, Myra's doing her, you know, Bible verses, you know, Myra is. Steve's over here in the corner, his head's turned up. He's speaking in tongues, you know. I got Rusty over here. I'm like this song here, you know, it's like we're just all rolling down here. But you know what's really interesting about Bill Dumfrey's case, and it really ties into Mark Bashaw's case? I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, I said, gosh, this is January 22nd in 2023, right? Or 2024, that's Roe v. Wade.
Oh, that's right. Wow. Yep.
And then a year later, on January 21st, Trump gets in, lets everybody go, and Bill Dumfrey leaves 1 year to the date that he was in court. 1 year to the date, we're sitting in court, Bill Dumfrey is walking out of jail. And Mark Bashaw, 3 years from the date that he's in court, we're sitting in court, he gets a pardon from Donald Trump. Mm. Now, if you can't see the fingerprint of God in that, okay, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. What I'm just saying is there's something that the Lord honors about the obedience and the people that have faith that God's going to do something in these men's lives.
Yeah. And you got to believe it, man.
It didn't turn out like we wanted. We didn't get, you know, but you can't deny that God wasn't faithful.
Amen. Amen. We don't do, you do a good job of keeping track of dates and times and events. Most of us don't. We just travel through life and think a lot of it's just a kind of a coincidence. When we know if we read our scripture and we believe in the supernatural, that's just not true. It just isn't true. Hey, Craig, real quickly, because it's like nails on a chalkboard. Bill Dunphy's free, but it's Dunphy, like he paid a fee.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's okay. Because it's just nails on a chalkboard. Dunphy, but he is free.
I'm good with dates and numbers, names. You're going to have to throw some grace on me.
I'm throwing grace, but I know it's probably fingernails on a chalkboard to other people out there, and I want people to know at least I heard it too. So it's Dunphy. He paid a fee in jail, so he's free. So Bill Dunphy is free. It's free. Cool, man. Appreciate it. Hey, you want to support us? I just happened to think about this. Buy a hat. No, wait a minute. Donate some money and get a hat. I just re-upped our supply over here. That's the way you can help support us. Help, instead of, you can't come to the annual, buy a hat. And then we'll take that money and we apply it. Folks, we're just trying to keep our machine running. That's all we're trying to do. And, you know, I was on the Patriot Party News last night. And golly, one of the Oath Keeper Bill lives in Maryland, I think, someplace like that. He said, "Man, I love that hat because I was wearing this hat." I said, "I'll send you one." Friends, you can help us out. Buy a cap, then we can use that to whatever. I feel like I'm marketing guy here. Cool. All right. Look. Here's the bottom line. I want you to be part of the event. It will be life changing for many of you who are isolated. I'm just telling you. So as of Monday, we're going to have this updated so you can register for the annual. We need you to register because we need to know how much food we have to have. All right? We do. And you said, "God, I don't have any place to stay." Well, we'll work on that too. Cool. Let me move on here. I don't want to, that's the wrong thing to say. Bring up number three. I saw something today that absolutely, I couldn't believe this. Number three. Go ahead and play this.
Pfizer mRNA shots alone likely responsible for over 470,000 American deaths, according to an MIT Florida Surgeon General study. Talk to us about this, please.
Yeah, so this study, it's in the preprint server right now, but it is a very robust study. It will be published shortly. And yeah, Florida Surgeon Joel Ledepo is the senior author. They looked at the Medicaid data. There was over 1 million Florida adults included in this study. And what they found was those who received Pfizer compared to Moderna injections faced a 36% higher risk of all-cause mortality, not due to COVID-19. So what that means is if you extrapolate it, and Steve Kirsch was the first to do this, if you extrapolate that estimate to the whole all of America, and you look at how many people got the Pfizer shots, and the number actually does come out to 470,000 American deaths from Pfizer alone in the first year of the mRNA campaign, so in 2021. So that is a minimal estimate. This number is so large, rivaling the death toll of World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War combined for American casualties just in that first year. And so this is such strong evidence.
Okay,
now, and
pull, we can only pull that off. Pull that off. You understand what they just said, folks? The COVID vaccinations are responsible for more deaths than World War I, World War II. I'm sorry, World War II, Korea, and the Vietnam War. More people have died as a result of vaccines. That's staggering, isn't it?
Boom.
Isn't it staggering? Now, the question that we're going to have to deal with at some point, are people going to be held accountable for that? Does the gospel say, oh, just forgive them all? Just go, just forgive all the mass murderers? No. The gospel is this, that when you murder someone or you are a participant in a murder, you forfeit your life. But before you forfeit your life, you have the opportunity to repent, have your sins washed away, and be forgiven. So that when you die or are executed, the crime that you committed here in America, in the world, was covered with the blood, and you were forgiven, and you can go be with Christ, even if you were a mass murderer. Now, that's hard for us to understand. That, my friends, is the gospel. But every life that they took demands and deserves justice. The wages of sin is death. And whether they tell you this or try not to tell you this, the truth of the matter is the scripture does say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And if we don't come back to justice in America, we will never please our Lord. See, mercy follows justice. Mercy follows justice. You killed somebody, you forfeit your life. Why? Because that is the value of another person's life. You can still go to heaven if you receive Christ, confess your sins, be washed clean, but your earthly days are over. And because we talk a lot about it here that we don't believe in the supernatural, we say we believe in heaven and hell, but it's possible for a mass murderer, Charles Manson, to have murdered who we don't even, well, that's a story to cut open too. He was CIA. I don't know if you know that one. If Charles Manson, if he repents of his sin, he'll be in heaven with me. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? That's what the blood of Jesus does. But see, we value human life so much, we claim to, that we show mercy to those who God has called to justice. Do we understand this? It seems mean to hang somebody, mean to put somebody. We shouldn't be putting people in jail. We shouldn't be putting them in jail. We should be doing physical punishment. Remember, they used to strap them up. Remember when they had to put them in the, what they call those? In the pilgrim days, they put you in the out in front public and they fly them out, they swatted you publicly. What do they call those things?
Somebody help.
The stocks, they put them in the stocks. Public humiliation. Boom, they beat the crap out of them. And then they were forgiven. You see, mercy, 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 mercy. We put mercy before justice. And I'm going to tell you this. No one has the right to forgive somebody of something that was done to you. Only you have that right to forgive them. But there must be restitution and justice. And if we believe in an afterlife, then everybody who does something wicked here on earth can make it to heaven, but they forfeit their earthly life. That's the way I read the gospel. Anybody see it differently than that? Jeff Mayers, come on in.
Coach, we don't even stand kids in the corner anymore. That's all I had to say.
That's true. We don't even stand them in the corner anymore. Good line, Jeff. It's the truth, right? Mercy, 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 mercy. Folks, we're in a natural world right now. And we're going to leave this natural world. And when we leave this natural world, you are going to give an account for everything that you did. Man, I got a laundry list. And when I stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and he said, why should I let you in? He's going to have that file come down, all that stuff I did. And I'm going to say, because your son died on that cross. He paid the price for all of these. I'm guilty, but forgiven. And he's going to say, boom, justice is done. Enter the kingdom. That's the way I read it. That's the way I read it. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And if you don't have Jesus Christ who's covered your sin, you ain't getting in. Why? Because the soul that sins, it must die, the scripture says, unless it's been washed with the blood of Jesus. God, this is so critical that we understand this. We give mercy to those God hasn't given mercy to. Why are we doing that? I don't have the right to forgive something that was done to somebody else. I know people in the queue right here who have lost loved ones. And for some pastor to stand in the pulpit and say to them who lost a spouse, a brother, a sister, a cousin, just for a pastor to stand in the pulpit and say, well, brother, you just have to forgive them. No, 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 no. My opinion, justice comes. I forgive them, off with their head. Anybody disagree with that? Does anybody disagree with that? I forgive them, off with their head. That's justice. How can I grant forgiveness to somebody who didn't do anything to me? I said, well, just got to forgive them, honey. Yeah, I will forgive them. Hang them, and I'll forgive them. Justice is hard. Justice is tough. We don't get it. We don't get it. Johnny, come on in.
Yeah, I just want to just reiterate and just thank you, Jesus, so much for forgiving me for my sins. Thank you for communion this morning because you bring out the truth in me so that I can set it on the table, evaluate it, and you show me what's right and what's wrong, how to change, John. John, change for me.
Amen.
I'll be there for you. I'll take care of it. But this what we have in our country, you know, and I know everybody in here already knows this, but there's got to be justice. This is such a delicate time for our country. Such a delicate time
it
because
is.
If there's no accountability, and it's, I think we all kind of are afraid that maybe there might not be accountability because of the amount of people and the names of the people that would have to go down with the Titanic.
So you're talking about political guys, right? Hey, Johnny, we're going to be shocked. Cash Patel just said this. I think it was Cash who said it. We're going to be shocked when we see some of the names. We are going to be so shocked, folks. Because why? They got in their own little cabal there, and they were covering for each other, and everybody's getting away with it. And nobody, everybody else is doing it. And Now, the question is, do we have the stomach? Make them pay. Listen to me. They can still go to heaven. But they got a debt to pay. They got a debt to pay, baby. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Sir, that's justice. Oh, man, huh? Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Where am I? Rochelle, come on in.
Hey, good morning, team. I've just two comments. So about communion, that was really great this morning, Joe. Wonderful selection. And I remember when I first studied that passage, and I was so immature. And I remember thinking, if God just wants to see Jesus in us, what is so special? There's nothing special about us. Why didn't he just make a whole bunch of Jesuses?
Yeah, amen.
However, you know, I've matured a little bit, but I think that's it's a detrimental road to go down when you think that. I'm just saying that the Father doesn't accept you as who you are, and he doesn't. He wants the best of who you are. Amen. That's why he cleans you up. The other thing I wanted to comment on, I just wanted to, as a general warning, maybe just for the good of our group, we're talking about COVID, and I am so glad it was taken off the childhood shot schedule. Yep. However, I did investigate that, and even though these recent changes have come about, they're still going to recommend it. They're going to recommend it for the sick people.
It's crazy.
If you're sick and you're pregnant, if you have underlying health conditions, if you are immunocompromised, they still want you to get this jab, guys.
Crazy. Yep, yep.
They're not telling us the truth. How can it be a bioweapon and okay for sick people? Oh, unless we just want to kill the sick people. Oh, ding, ding, ding. I think that's it.
Shameless.
Oh, man. That's why, folks, that's why it's going to be. See, Scripture, we're not supposed to offer mercy where there isn't where there isn't justice. See, and that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen, right? You know why they won't push through Trump's agenda, whatever? Republicans won't? Because their hands are dirty. Their hands are dirty. It's like saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to strip naked everybody who's 10 pounds overweight. Well, everybody's 10 pounds overweight. They don't want that. They don't want to be stripped naked. And that's what's happened, because there has been no justice in the justice system and no justice in our government. Everybody's 10 pounds overweight, and they don't want to have their clothes taken off. So they want to change the rules. And again, if we don't understand how justice and mercy flow together, we're going to get sucked right into that vortex of, oh, forgive him, forgive him. Jesus forgave you. Yeah, you hear how it goes, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What did he say to John the Baptist? What did he say with John the Baptist? That dude didn't even, I got locked up, and that dude didn't even come and visit me. Jesus said, tell him shut up. The blind see, the lame walk. Ain't about him. Tell him shut up. Justice, mercy follows justice. Mercy follows justice. You can't be pardoned until you've been convicted. Mercy follows justice. Stuart Rhodes yesterday, they convicted him before they proved him guilty. It's just, come on, we got to see what's going on. Because I'm going to tell you, your evangelifish church is going to go soft when they find out one of their favorites, one of their Republican favorites, oh, my, my, my. He's got dirt on his hands. Well, just forgive him, brother. It's under the blood. No, 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 no. Come on, friends. Craig.
Well, maybe Jonathan can pull up the link I put in at 7:43. So, you know, I just put some information in there. July 4th of 2021, 67% of the people were vaccinated, adults across the United States, right? And there was a lot of people putting incentives out there.
They were. And
they were incentivizing you to take something that they didn't really know what it was. Now, your state, amongst others, you know, remember Dunkin' Donuts and all these, you know, yep. Show us your thing, you get a free donut, yep. Right? Y'all had a lottery. You gave millions of dollars away. So my question would be is, if I was incentivized to take a shot and I had a reaction to something that was bad, because you were influencing me via a state lottery ticket to make $1 million. Is there accountability in that?
Uh-huh. Are you asking me?
Is it the state's role to incentivize, you know, taking medical advice? I might be your son's looking for a case. That might be a good case for him to get a new house out of.
Well, so Johnny, type in right there, Google, what is a high crime? What is a high crime? Hey, friends, you listen to me. Those of you in positions of authority, whatever it would be, your punishment is more severe than those under you. You should have known better. A high crime is an act that breaks the law and is punishable by the legal system, often considered a serious offense that can harm the community or the state. Specifically, it refers to offenses that the U.S. Senate deems adequate grounds for the removal of the president, vice president, or any civil officer. In other words, friends, listen to me, a high crime has to do with the position of the person who committed it. If the governor tells people to get a vaccination, that's a higher crime than if I tell my children to get it. Both are crimes. Or my mayor tells me I have to. So a high crime, a judge who does something illegal, orders illegal, that is a high crime. It's different than just me believing the governor and vaccinating my children, which, by the way, probably is a sin as well. And that's why the Constitution talks about high crimes and misdemeanors. People in positions of public trust must pay the most severe price when they betray us. Anybody disagree with that?
Boom.
We are, folks, if Fauci doesn't hang publicly, there's no justice. Think how many people are dead today because of Dr. Fauci. Think how many people are dead today because the government or your business mandated that you take that shot. How many people? How many people? Is there justice for those people? Is there justice for them? It's a high crime, baby. It's a difference between me stealing gasoline and my five-year-old son stealing gasoline. In fact, my five-year-old son would probably steal gasoline because he saw me do it. So the higher the authority, the greater the accountability. People in positions of high, they get a lot of money. They get a lot of prestige. They get a lot of benefits. Well, dudes, let me tell you something. When the long arm of the justice falls, it falls harder on them. It should. And if we don't have the guts here in America to demand that those in high places deceived us pay a high price, then we have no justice. My mom, God rest her soul, when my brothers used to beat the crap out of me all the time, which they did, my mom would always say to my older brother Joe and my older brother Dan, might doesn't make right. Just because you're bigger and stronger and have more authority, you can't do that. You can't hit it, little Davey, because you can and you're bigger and you're stronger. Well, say that to Governor DeWine. You can't hit me just because you're governor. You can't lie to me. You can't do that. And think how many people were deceived. Folks, this is serious, serious stuff. Oh, I'm all over the place. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, well, the reason why we're not doing anything now is because we didn't do anything then.
That's right.
When did we hold Clinton and Janet Reno responsible for murdering those children at the Branch Davidian, Tom?
Oh, my goodness. Hey Jack. Anything. I got another one for you. I'm sorry, Jack. I don't mean to cut you off, but it applied. Pull up for me number six. Pull up for me number six, all right? Because this is exactly what we're talking about right now. What did we do to Hillary Clinton? What did we do to Hillary Clinton? Biggest act of treason in America. Play it.
Lawyers to do and not to do concerning the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge tells us in sworn testimony on Capitol Hill, one of the insiders told lawmakers what she was told.
During closed-door testimony last summer, former FBI lawyer Lisa Page said the Obama administration's Justice Department advised the FBI not to pursue the gross negligence statute for Hillary Clinton in the mishandling of classified information. Former U.S. Attorney and House Republican John Ratcliffe led the line of questioning about the statute, known as 18 U.S.C. 793. Ratcliffe, you're making it sound like it was the department that told you you're not going to charge gross negligence because we're the prosecutors. Page interrupted, that is correct. Page's testimony appears to conflict with then-FBI Director James Comey's recommendation in July 2016 against criminal charges for Clinton.
What I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly, competently, and independently. No outside influence of any kind was brought to bear.
The Republican-led House Oversight and Judiciary Committee investigation ended in January. With Democrats now in control, the committee's new ranking Republican made the Page transcript public.
The transcript releases show an inherent two-tier system, one in which Hillary Clinton gets the treatment that she got, where they was actually at first concerned that they were going to charge her, and then with Loretta Lynch in charge, before she recused herself, made it very clear that that was not going to happen.
The tip-off came from a chart drawn up by federal investigators assigned to the Clinton case known as Mid-Year Exam. Fox News has confirmed that the chart listed possible federal statutes for prosecution. Next to gross negligence was a notation, quote, DOJ not willing to charge this. Only known cases are military. Cases when accused lost the information. In response to the Page revelations, the president tweeted the transcripts, quote, make the Obama Justice Department look exactly like it was, a broken and corrupt machine.
The Page transcript also confirms Fox's earlier reporting. The Page testified Russia collusion was still unproven when special counsel Robert Mueller was appointed. Brett?
Okay, so hang on. So hang on. How many people are dead because Hillary Clinton lied? You say, well, Coach, we don't want to go back. Let's let bygones be bygones. We don't want to go back there. If we want justice for those who lost their lives as a result of it, we have to go back there. We have to. We have to go back to Comey. We have to. We have to go back to Obama. We have to. That's the way I see it, man. It's going to get ugly. Ain't going to be pretty. A lot of Christians are going to go weak in the knees when they see one of their favorite guys. Did he know better? How many times did you guys ever have your mommy or your daddy beat you in the corner after you'd done something stupid and they said to you, you know better than that. We raised you better than that. Well, doesn't that apply publicly? High crime? High crime! How many people are dead because of Fauci's lies? How many people are dead because the Department of Health and Humans or whatever, the lies that they told, the lies they perpetrated? We're just supposed to forgive and forget. Folks, that ain't the gospel. That ain't the gospel. Justice, then forgiveness. Justice. How many of you, when somebody to throw a ball and bust your picture window in your house and then expect you to pay for it? Well, there's been a whole lot of busted windows that the people who broke them aren't being held accountable for. And if we want to be good Christians, we want to do what Jesus would do, we would demand justice for those who have been injured. Millions of them. The greatest mass murder in American world history probably was COVID vaccinations. But I think we're too soft. Time will tell. Mercy follows justice. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.